Hey everybody, welcome to another bonus episode of Horror Movie Night. This is actually the first of many that will be coming out from San Diego Comic-Con, and we had to kick it off with the yearly tradition at this point of talking with Jeff from Scream Factory about all of the great titles that they've announced. Panel just ended about 10 minutes ago. Before I get into any questions, I'm just going to binge through the list as I was writing it. We got Saturday the 14th, Screamers, Single White Female, Obsession, 10 to Midnight, Starman, Dracula, Prince of Darkness, The Craft, Sleepwalkers, Silent Night, Deadly Night Part 2, both Urban Legend movies, all of the Critters, and Candyman. So you can officially retire and put them all out.
It's insane. I mean, last week or two, the first week in July, we announced Creepshow and Trick or Treat and Night of the Demons and all this other stuff, House on Haunted Hill, and people are like, what do you have left for Comic-Con? I'm like, oh, trust me, we still have plenty. I don't know if we'll ever have quite a Comic-Con announced like this year, because I purposely wanted to load up strong titles. Yeah. There have been other years where maybe they have not been so strong. I hope people are happy. I know we're super excited about it here internally to be able to offer these titles, and a lot of them have been requested a lot. So, and there's something there for everybody in there. If you didn't, you know. Yeah. So like
the 14th is crazy.
Yeah, you have Saturday the 14th.
You are prepared for people to ask for Strikes Back for the next like
however many years. But like, I mean, we have Hammer in there. We have Brian De Palma. We have slasher films.
And you promised there's more Hammer on the horizon too.
There is more Hammer on the horizon. I have to keep that vague, but there are more Hammer titles that are planned for 2019.
So excited.
And we do have more things cooking for 2019. And that's the thing. This announcement is going to basically take you guys through, I would say, through January, February. There's some still more titles, believe it or not, that we're going to announce at the beginning of the month, but there are a little on the more lower tier C, B movie side that we didn't think was going to register here at Comic-Con, so I'll let your listeners
same question all the time. I'm still just hoping that Alligator doesn't end up on that never ever ever list.
I will say this: it is not on the never ever list, but it has hit a roadblock.
Yeah.
And I am the hugest fan.
Yeah, I know. We've talked
Alligator
about it every year,
and every year I'm always like, "Come on, is this year for Alligator?" And no, it's not the year for Alligator. Ah, drives me nuts. I always say the same thing: "Is this year for Cruising?" No, it's not the year for Cruising.
So last year, I remember there was like one or two Scream titles or Shout Factory titles that arguably could have been Scream titles.
Mm, yes.
Was there anything this year? The only one that jumped out at me was maybe California, but was there anything you fought for?
No.
Do you think it divided evenly this year?
No, I think last year, and you're talking about Matinee, and you're talking about
Mac
the Burbs.
Me, I think was even
Mac and Me would have been. You know what? Because, yes, it's sci-fi, but because it's a little too kiddish, kiddie, that sounds, you know, whatever, family-oriented, it probably wouldn't have gone in the Scream brand. We kept Garbage Pail Kids because it was gross kids
it
stuff.
It is the most disgusting
movie ever made. It's just gross, and it didn't do all that well for us either. But last year, Matinee and The Burbs were two titles that were like on the fence of whether or not they went into Scream or went to Shout Select. At the end of the day, they're all coming out from Shout Factory anyway. So,
yeah.
And trust me, we released over 350 titles. Ah, we can give some of the other brands some titles at this point.
So I have to ask you, one of the questions that happened in the panel was you were talking about like the bare bones editions and stuff like that. You've put out over 300 titles. You're nearing 400 at the rate that you're
already,
going.
After announcing today, we've probably hit close to 400.
Has there ever been a title where, for whatever reason, you just kind of felt like, I don't really have anything to add with this? I know you do a lot of these older 60s films.
So here's the thing. When we look at a title that has been out on Blu-ray before or has had a special edition before, believe me, Cliff McMillan, my other Scream Factory partner in crime who acquires a film, we sit and we have tough talks about like, okay, if we're going to get Texas Chainsaw 2 that was already put out as a good special edition, same thing with the Return of the Living Dead, what are we going to do to top it?
Yeah.
How are we going to make this a double dip or sometimes a triple dip? Thankfully, we've been mostly successful in doing that.
Yeah.
But there are some titles, some of those older titles, like, you know, Prince of Darkness, the Hammer title is going to be a little interesting because it is an older title in the 60s and Christopher Lee's not with us and whatever. But you know what? I have faith in Cliff, who produces a lot of the discs, and other people as well, that they will scour and scrub down, like, the ideas to put in so that there is some viable stuff to be put on these discs.
Yeah.
We do get these challenges. I think the biggest challenge, if I can go off on a tangent, is, like, you know, we'll get a title like Single White Female Tonight, which we just announced.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, I hope you get Bridget Fonda. She already turned us down. But she also left the business.
Yeah.
I mean, she's left the business. She didn't want to talk about Lake Placid. We don't take it personally.
Yeah.
Sometimes people just retire, or the past is in their past. But then other titles come up, like, you know, Return of the Living Dead, that comes out next month, where we got cast participation. People like, you know, the people in the film.
Well, you said the urban legends, you've got, like, so much of the cast that actually surprised you.
So can I tell you this? Jamie Blanks, the director of that film, has been so awesome. He's working with Edwin Samuelson, who does Blu-ray producing just in general. And they have already filmed interviews with a lot of the principal cast of that film. It's a two-disc set. It was originally supposed to be a one-disc set, but because Jamie and his team are bringing so much added value to it, we had to move it to two discs. That's incredible.
Yeah.
But that's a movie that's been on a Blu-ray before and is only about 20 years old. That came out, I think, in 98.
It was 98.
So to be able to have somebody, and Jamie Blanks is a big horror fan, so he was already a fan of our brand, which helps, you know, and it's also a nice compliment, and we love the film too, so, you know, there's a lot of wins. Again, I said this in the panel, and I'll tell this to your listeners, every title we get has its own personality. Some of them are spoiled behaved children, some of them are angels, and you just never know which one you're going to get until you start going into the process a little bit more.
So with all of the different stuff that's come out, I think last year we talked about what was a film that you thought was going to do really well and didn't. Let's go with the opposite though. What was something that you thought, okay, we're just going to push this out because maybe putting this out gets us a deal with another one, and you were, like, blown away by the fan response?
So that is a really good question. This year, let's see. What did we announce this year that I was surprised had legs? Brain Scan.
Yeah.
That's a film that, you know, I knew about. Cliff knew about it a little bit better than I did. And we knew that there were some fervent fans of it. But it wasn't a hit at the box office. It didn't really do all that much or whatever. God, when we announced it, holy moly. There was a huge response to that. People were super excited about it. And it struck a chord with people, like, I guess, you know, it came out in the 90s or whatever, that I was sort of like, wow, I did not know. And we got a lot of extras for it. Some people were like, why wasn't it a collector's edition? Every now and then there's a title that, yes, that one probably should have been, with the amount of extras and the fan love in it. But when you start going down the road with it, it's hard to stop artwork, street date. There's a lot of things that come into it.
What is the deciding factor, really, in what becomes a collector's edition?
So this is what I've said on record a few times. Usually a collector's edition in Scream Factory's world, because Shout Factory and Shout Select have their own sort of different criteria. Usually, we look at it in a couple ways. Does the film have a large vocal fan base attached to it? Was it popular? Was it a blockbuster? Was it, you know, is there still a, even if it was popular then, does there still legs with it at conventions, or, you know, people still talk about the movie? That's one. Two, can we load it up with extras or a new transfer that will make it into a collector's edition? And is it also a type of film where art would elevate it or whatever? Or is it from a director like Brian De Palma or John Carpenter or Wes Craven? 9 times out of 10, those things would be a collector's edition. We couldn't make Memoirs of an Invisible Man this year, though, a collector's edition, which is a John Carpenter film.
Which was a great transfer. I watched it maybe a week before coming.
Thank you. but we couldn't make it a collector's edition because John Carpenter didn't want to be involved. So we respected that, but it's sort of hard for us to do a collector's edition
when the director wants nothing to do with it.
John Carpenter, the John Carpenter, doesn't really want to do much. We did have some extras and stuff, as you saw, but it just wasn't, we weren't going to get Chevy Chase. It just wasn't going to come together in that way. So there's a bunch of variables, but that's generally, is it popular with fans? Can we do a lot of extras? And then sometimes we go down the road, Squirm is a great example, Death Becomes Her is a good example, where the extras are a little lighter than we would have liked, even though the fan base is there. Or sometimes we make Garbage Pail Kids, a collector's edition, and the sales isn't there. Teen Wolf 2 is a great example of, like, maybe that one shouldn't have been a collector's edition. But we tried, because we had Teen Wolf 1 as a collector's edition, and we had complimenting artwork and all sorts of stuff. As you can tell, I'm just going off all over.
No, that's fine, though. So the last question, because I know you've been running around like crazy, ready for
something.
It's for the people a lot of people who listen have never been here, and I don't think... You can't explain how much... I thought it was Saturday until about 6 o'clock today.
Yeah, I'm only down here for the panel, but I've done the cons for a while, Comic-Con for a while, every year, and I'm just kind of like, it's just your mind goes overblown.
Yeah, there's too much stuff.
Yeah.
The last question I was going to ask, and I think I ask this every year that we've done this, but it's always interesting to see if anything new's been added to it. What's on your stop asking me it's never going to happen this year?
Oh, that's a great... that's a really good one. So Dawn of the Dead 1978 is just not coming to us. We've tried. It is being held with a producer who... We've tried, and we can't get that. And that's a huge one. I mean,
Day of the Dead, right?
We did Dawn of the Dead remake, and we did Day of the Dead, and we did Land of the Dead. but we can't get our mitts on to Dawn of the Dead 1978. Fright Night Part 2 is still holed up and legal hoo-ha. We can't, we can't navigate through that. We don't have access to Trick or Treat, the rock one from the 80s. Michael Mann's The Keep, going to happen. We still can't get, never say never, but there are some titles like April Fool's Day would be a fantastic one, or Tales on the Dark Side of the Movie. There's some good ones there too. Silver Bullet, some of those stuff. Can't get those. I would say that, I'm thinking of all the social media requests that come in.
Everybody's
Maximum Overdrive we can't get, unfortunately, which, again, we can't believe that it's not on a Blu-ray yet. I mean, it's sort of...
There's a guy that yells at you every year about Beastmaster, but it is weird movies that
to be
never
fair,
come
he doesn't
out.
Yell.
That's
but,
true.
But he does. But you know what? That one doesn't get as requested as much as the other ones that I just mentioned. We get My Bloody Valentine a lot, even though it was on Blu-ray before, but now it's out of print.
Yeah.
So people are like, God, you guys could do an uncut version of this and all sorts of things. But, you know, I told people in the panel today, I'll tell your listeners today, maybe with the exception of Dawn of the Dead and some of the other ones I mentioned, never say never. We don't give up. We try not to give up.
Keep fighting. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Jeff.
Thank you. I appreciate you wanting to interview every year. It's always fun to do this. It's a nice kind of come down from the excitement. I was super excited going in here today. I was kind of like, why did I even have coffee? I was, I'm already amped up, so...
All right, and that's what's the website to get to the titles? Because I always have trouble remembering.
It's okay. It's all right. To make it easy, shoutfactory.com.
Yeah.
That's where you go, and there's a section for Scream Factory that'll find all that. November titles that I announced today are already up for pre-order, which would be Candyman, Sleepwalkers, Single White Female, Critters, and the two Urban Legend films.
Awesome.
All right.